So we're using this kind of sermon space here in our service to launch 40 days of prayer. Now, you're going to be challenged from the Bible, definitely. You're going to see Bible in this launch. But it's not just going to be about learning about prayer this morning. It's about pushing us into actually praying this morning. Actually praying. Not just talking about it, but doing it. And we've been talking about it quite a bit. Now we're going to do it. Now, if you're on Zoom or if you know somebody who isn't here today, this booklet was emailed out on Friday to everyone on our list. So there's a digital version available. But there will be, if there aren't now, there will be enough hard copies for everyone. And so we would ask you in coming weeks, and perhaps if we find some more this morning, you can take them with you to give to people in your growth groups who aren't here today. But we think it's going to be easier for people if they've got, you know, the physical copy. And this is something that we'll be working from over the next 40 days. It'll guide us through. There's quite a bit of work in here, and you'll see that as we go. For today, for anyone. Yeah, okay, so if there's anyone else here who hasn't got one, I saw a hand over here, and there was someone else over here. Put your hand up, because there's a couple that we can give out today. Oh, grab one. I think you're right. Good. And anyone else need one? Okay. We might find some more before you go home, in which case you can grab them again for your growth groups, because we definitely want you to do that, Robert and others. Turn to page 3, which is, you know, just one turnover, and it has the heading, Why 40 Days of Prayer? Guys, I think this is just brilliant timing for us. Apart from anything else, while we've got these COVID restrictions, while things are likely to happen even in coming days, which are going to restrict us from meeting together physically as much as we might like to, this is something that we can still do together. We can pray. We can all be on this prayer journey together over the next 40 days, no matter what else happens. And it's about us turning to our God in the midst of whatever else happens. So this is really great timing. But there are other reasons, of course. I mean, this was planned before these restrictions came along. And if we look at page 3 there, 40 days of prayer, it is a simple initiative to encourage us all to pray more. We know we need to pray more to get to know God better through spending time with Him, listening to Him, and talking with Him. That's why we're doing it. Now, it's also an opportunity to pray together as a family of Baptist churches. So there's a bigger picture to this as well. Through New South Wales and ACT, many churches are going to be doing this. Together, as a movement, we have a vision for 1,000 healthy churches in a generation. Now, I don't know what you think about that as a vision. At the moment, we've got maybe a third of that. A little bit more, maybe. I'm not sure, but around that. So we know that to get to 1,000 healthy churches in a generation, we're not going to be able to do this in our own strength. We need God's grace, we need His power, and we need His love. And so we need to pray. We need to pray. So over this 40 days, one of the things that we're going to be praying for is for God's purposes and God's work in that regard, and seeking to align ourselves with them, that they will come to pass, praying that they will happen. But it's not just our movement vision, it's our church, isn't it? For us as a church, we are moving in to a time, and we have been starting to think about the future and seeking God for the future of our church. So we know that we're not going to find God's future for this church in our own strength or our own wisdom. We require God's power and God's grace and God's love and His Spirit to pour out through us, in and through and around us. So we need to pray. We know that. And so we pray. And then, of course, you know, just look at our world. Look at what's happening in Australia. Look at those, you know, some of us so frustrated watching the news just the last couple of days. But God is bigger than those things. And so we need to pray. We need to pray. So 40 days of prayer. This is such good timing. This is something we desperately need. Now, a couple of things I need to say, just so there's no confusion. This is different to the 40 days of prayer that Lismore Baptist Church did last year. So who remembers that? Yeah, and so I've had people say, didn't we do that? Yeah, it was a different 40 days of prayer. That was a great program, so something that comes out of Rick Warren's work, and that was helpful for us at that time. This is different. This is kind of like our 40 days of prayer, something that has been shaped by Carolyn Altman and that we've now had some input into. So it's different. Another kind of practical thing I want to say is growth groups, regarding our growth groups. Now, we've shared with our growth group leaders about this. This is not like a full study option for our growth groups. That's not what this is. This is something for us all to do. But, you know, a bit of support and a bit of accountability is always helpful with a thing like this, isn't it? And so one of our suggestions is that when we gather in our growth groups, and if you're not in a growth group, you could join one, because that smaller sized group can often still meet, not always, but often still meet, even with restrictions. And if not a growth group, a friend or two, an accountability partner, just someone where you can be intentional about encouraging each other in this. So we're encouraging just a few minutes each time you meet in growth groups or with an accountability partner, just to support and encourage, maybe share out of where God has been encouraging or challenging you through this process. We're encouraging that. So, 40 days of prayer. Now, turn the page. That's why 40 days of prayer. Turn the page. A helpful structure for prayer on page 4. Who's seen that whole thing about Acts, ACTS, for prayer before? I'm expecting to see quite, yeah. I mean, it's been around for a long time, Acts. You know, I've found this very helpful in my life. It's simple, but it's just, let's just look at what they say here. It's just saying prayer is more than just making requests of God. Often our prayers are just making requests of God, aren't they? But prayer is so much more than that. We've been talking about it in recent weeks. It should involve praise and thanksgiving and confession and also asking God for things. And a fancy word for that is supplication, so that it fits into Acts. Asking God for things. Now, for the sake of simplicity, as it says there on page 4, that second paragraph, each of the days really focuses on requests. That's just for simplicity. And, you know, we shouldn't be embarrassed about that. God wants to hear our requests. But as we even just ask those requests of God, we might find that we very naturally turn to being thankful to God, to praising Him, to confessing where we've fallen short, and so on. But look, either way, here's just this suggestion that as you go through each day, you might want to keep this little simple little structure in mind. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So there it is. Adoration, to adore and praise the Lord in prayer. Right? Focus our thoughts on His greatness, on His majesty, on His grace, on all the qualities of God. Tell Him that you love Him. As part of your prayers, just tell Him. Tell Him that you love Him. If you find that a little bit difficult, if you're kind of searching for words, or after a couple of days you're going, well, this just feels the same as yesterday, what I often do is I'll open up a psalm. Psalms are so good to help us just to express praise to God in fresh ways, in creative ways. Sing a song of praise. You mightn't be able to sing in here, but you can sing at home. And if there's some music that helps you. Adoration. Secondly, confession. We come to God acknowledging where we have fallen short, but we do it knowing that He is the God who gave His own Son so that we can be forgiven. So we do it with a sense of just assurance that as we ask for that forgiveness, he gives it to us. And I love thinking about that language in Psalm 51 that Paul shared with us recently, where he washes us clean, as white as snow. So you might open up Psalm 51, right? Or here it is, 1 John 1:9 on page 4 there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confess our sins. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And we've talked about this, haven't we? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we know that when we turn our hearts and our minds towards thanksgiving, we remember then, don't we, that God has been good to us, even in the difficulties. And unless we stop and do that, we often forget. And as we do that, it changes our perspective. God is a good and gracious and generous God. And so we thank him. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication, asking. And yes, this is what we often kind of fall into, but we don't need to throw it aside feeling embarrassed about it. It's so important to ask God for things. He loves to hear our requests for other people, for ministries, for God's work in the world, other concerns beyond ourselves, but also for ourselves. God wants to know. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to go to him with your needs, with the things that are worrying you, your anxieties. He wants us to go to him with our requests. And you'll see on the very front page, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, such a beautiful couple of verses there. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. So keep that there in front of you for the whole 40 days. But there it is, Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I hope that is helpful to you. Now, we continue on. Page 5, notes. We'll come back to that. Page 6, a devotion. And page 7, part of that devotion. We will come back to that in a moment. Let's turn to page 8 and have a look at how each day is structured. So this is Monday. This is tomorrow. This is the page that you will open up tomorrow to start our 40 days of prayer. Now at the very top, it's a simple pattern. It's the same pattern every day. We're just encouraging that to give us this kind of process to hopefully develop a habit. So each day, at the very top, we've got a verse or a little, sometimes it's a quote from somebody. Tomorrow, Psalm 136, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. And then we've got our first prayer point. Now that one at the very top comes from our association, the Baptist Association. So the association prayer point on Monday is for a continually renewed commitment to prayer, both individually and together, and for a culture of prayer and seeking God to underpin all we do. That's a good prayer point. We can pray that. They're going to have a different prayer point each day of the week, but it's going to be repeated. So Monday is going to be the same each week for this 40 days. And then Tuesday will be different. Look at Tuesday's one for revival and renewal in our lives and our communities and so on. And it goes on. So the first point is from our wider family of churches. Then you've got three prayer points there every day. And you see them in boxes there. Can you see those ones? Yeah? So the first one there, each week, each day is going to be about this visioning, thinking about the future. How is God leading us? So look at our visioning one for Monday. We want to pray tomorrow that we will have the heart desire and the courage to listen to God and truly seek his leading. that we will allow God's Holy Spirit to convict, to confirm, and to guide us according to His will. So that's our visioning prayer tomorrow as we think about the future. There's another one on Tuesday, you can see there. The second church prayer point on Monday is going to be around mission and ministry. And so this Monday, tomorrow, the prayer point for mission and ministry will be that the fruit of the Spirit would be more and more evident in our lives, both individually, but also as a church community. And we've listed them there, and we're saying choose one to focus on today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Choose one of them. Pray for your life, that you will grow more into that fruit of the Spirit, that God's Spirit will have His way. But also as a church community, that we will grow into that. That's at the heart of our mission and ministry, isn't it? Thirdly, we're going to have a prayer point there for people in our church community. And so we're praying for growth in faith and for any special needs of which you might be aware. And on Monday, it'll be for those in your growth group or closest connections at church. We'll pray for those ones. Tuesday, you can see it's for the elderly folk in our church. Wednesday, you know, what is it? It's for our young families, including their children and young people. And on it goes. That's our third prayer point each day. So we've got those prayer points. And then we've got a big box there that says other concerns. Can you see that? That's where you write anything else that you want to write, something that's on your heart that you want to take to God, your own personal needs or broader things. You just put it down there. Jot it down. And then there's a closing note there. Pray, thank you, Lord, that you are still in charge, even when my life seems out of control. Help me to remember that today. Amen. It's been done really well. I'm thankful to Carolyn and those who put it together because it's helpful for us. We've got our own prayer points through there every day for 40 days, those three, visioning, mission and ministry and people in our church, and then your own prayer points. That's the little pattern that we're asking you to follow for the next 40 days. Each week, there's a devotion at the start of the week. So if we turn back, page 6 and 7, and there's something like this every week. And at the end of the week, if you did want to flick forward to page 15 and 16 just for a moment and have a look, there's a reflection section. So at the end of the week, maybe on the Sunday afternoon, you might want to just take a few moments to reflect out of what has been happening for you in the week that's just passed. So that's how it goes each week for the next 40 days. Now, the devotion and the reflection, they might be a good thing to pick up in your growth groups when you touch base on it. Or you just might want to leave that open-ended. Whatever kind of works for you. So, that's what we're doing. What we have now, we don't have Carolyn Altman here in person, but what she's done is she's prepared an 11-minute kind of intro video with a little bit of Bible teaching, but also encouragement just for us as we launch into our 40 days of prayer. What I would ask you to do is turn back to that page 5 now, which is blank, and it says notes at the top. That would be a really good place just to jot down, that's where you got pens and pencils, or one of the reasons, some of the main ideas that Carolyn is about to share with us from on that little video. Okay, so thank you, tech people.
Hi, Steve Bartlett here. One of the strategic priorities for our movement is to press into initiatives that focus us around prayer. Now, this follows on from the commitment that we made together at our September 2017 assembly that we'd call on all of us across our movement to a renewed commitment to prayer individually and together for revival and renewal across our churches and throughout New South Wales and ACT. We want to see that commitment continue to be lived out among us. So as part of supporting that this year, we're launching the 40 Days of Prayer initiative. It's a simple idea to encourage us all in prayer, either alongside what's already happening around prayer in your local church or as a principal focus. We know that in our own lives and in our churches, we need God's Spirit to move among us, to seek for His kingdom to come and His will to be done. At a movement level, our Gen 1K vision of 1,000 healthy churches in a generation just won't happen without an outpouring of God's grace and power. We can't do this in our own strength. So, over these 40 days, we focus on aligning ourselves with God's purposes and God's work and praying for that to come to pass among us. I'm looking forward to seeing what God will do through this 40 days of prayer as we seek Him together.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Altman, the prayer coordinator for the Baptist Churches of New South Wales and ACT. As we start our 40 days of prayer together, we thought it would be a good idea to just do some quick, simple teaching on prayer, especially what is prayer, what can we pray to God about, and why do we pray? So firstly, what is prayer? At its very basic level, prayer is simply talking to God and listening to Him talk back to us. Just like you talk to and listen to anyone else that you know and love. What things can we talk to God about? Well, Paul tells us the answer to this in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. He says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." If you don't know these verses off by heart, may I encourage you today to start memorizing them and say them out loud whenever you start to worry or get anxious about anything. Because what can we pray to God about? Everything. But let's look at why we pray. Why do you think the God, the sovereign God of the whole universe, wants us to pray, wants us to talk to Him? Well, let me firstly answer that with a story and then give you some biblical teaching. 4 years ago, when our daughter Melina was 21, she saved up all the money and went overseas for a holiday. And she was great keeping in touch with me at the start. She sent me a text message when a plane landed. She posted updates on Facebook and put photos on Instagram. She called when she needed to borrow some money. And one night, she even rang me just to chat. It was great. Then there were 4 days where there was nothing. No text messages, no social media, and certainly no calls. Now, I know I could have called her to check she was okay, but I didn't want to be one of those mothers. So instead, I prayed. And I can remember sitting outside, praying to God, and telling Him how I longed to hear from Melina, that I just wanted her to contact me in any way. I would have been happy even if she just texted to ask for more money. And in my conscious thoughts, God came to me saying, "My precious child, that's exactly how I feel about you. I long to hear from you. I'm happy when you send me the equivalent of a text message prayer. I smile when you give me a Facebook update on what's happening in your life, or you Instagram me a photo of what's making you happy. I'm even happy when you call me to ask for more money. And my precious child, how I love it when you call me just to chat with me." So why do we pray? Because God is your loving Father. And He loves it so much when you talk to Him. Now, I had a great earthly father, so I can really relate to the picture of God as a loving Father. But I'm very aware that not all of you may be able to say the same thing. But you may have had a great mother or grandparent or youth leader or pastor, and you can visualize them instead. You might like to change it too. Why do I pray? Because God is my loving parent or grandparent or youth leader or pastor, and they love to hear from me. 1 John 3:1 tells us, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. We are children of God. But why else do we pray? Well, because Jesus assumes we will. In Matthew 6, verses 5 to 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says three times, "When you pray." Not if, but when. We pray to get closer to God, to align our will with God's will. The closer you get to God, the more you'll notice that you're praying more not for your will to be done, but for God's will to be done. Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, it says, he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Jesus prays these words three times. We pray to align our will with God's will. We also pray to fill up our tank. If your tank is empty, you can't keep going, and you certainly can't help anyone else. So often when my husband Ian and I talk to pastors and ministry leaders and their spouses that are often facing burnout, we find that they've stopped praying and spending time with God, filling up their tank. I know pre-COVID, I was booked to do an all-day prayer retreat for the ladies of Glenbrook Baptist. But I'd had an incredibly busy few weeks, and my tank, it was bone dry empty. So I knew I wasn't going to be able to give anything to them unless I filled up my tank first. So I spent the whole morning the day before just talking to God and listening to him talk to me so that I could fill up my tank ready to give back to those precious ladies. We pray to stay connected to God. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And how true that is. But we seem to forget that in our busyness as we step on the treadmill of life. We pray to help us work on having an attitude of gratitude. Now, this isn't just thanking God for everything, but it's changing ourselves to be able to live our lives with an attitude of gratitude, living every day with an express thanksgiving towards God. To help me with this when life is just getting too much for me, this is a spiritual discipline that I have learned to put into practice. I start off my day spending 3 minutes praising God, thanking God, and worshiping God. I have 1 minute praising him. "Oh, Father God, you are wonderful and I love you so much." 1 minute thanking him. "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me." And 1 minute worshiping him. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Because no matter how overwhelmed I am, no matter how many things I have on my to-do list for the day, I can take 3 minutes to help set the context of my day, to have my attitude of gratitude toward my Father God. And finally, we pray because Jesus modeled it for us. Luke 5, verse 16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He prayed alone and he prayed in public. He prayed before healing someone and after healing someone. He prayed before meals. He prayed before he fed the 5,000 people. Jesus spent the night in prayer before selecting his 12 apostles, and he prayed before making any important decisions. As we read earlier, he prayed for the whole night before his crucifixion. Jesus is the very best teacher we can have. So let's model him in our prayer life. Now, that's a whole lot of reasons of why we should pray. So let's start this 40 days of prayer together. Thank you.
Hi.
Did you go with that? A whole bunch of reasons, aren't there, of why to pray? God is your loving Father. That's a good place to start, isn't it? And it's a good little story to help us think about that. Jesus assumes we will, to align our will with God's will, to fill our tank, to stay connected, for an attitude of gratitude, because Jesus modeled it. There you go. Did I miss any? No. Okay. Got a cover. Oh, and there was, yeah, that was a... Yeah, there was praising and thanking and worshipping, those 3 minutes, yeah. That was a good little tip, wasn't it? Yeah, she does that every day, she says. Yeah, hopefully that's also given us a taste so that when we can rebook Carolyn, you'll be wanting to be here for it. She really... What she does to help us pray is just very down to earth. She's not one of those more spiritual than thou kind of people. Very practical, very, very clear and helpful. So look forward to that. We will get her here. Okay, so there's our introductory video. What we will do now, just before we finish this launch, is let's do the devotion for day one. Let's do it together. So turn now to page 6. And this will just get us all started. So we've actually begun our 40 days of prayer, the devotion for week 1. Now, it's based on Philippians 4, verse 4. And that is the verse which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Now, before we read this devotion, let me ask you, do you sometimes struggle to rejoice? You with me on that? Sometimes we struggle to rejoice, and for good reason. Of course we do. John's already mentioned it in our prayer time this morning, but we know that some of you, even this week, have been facing big challenges. Sometimes it's to do with health. Sometimes it's to do with watching people we care about struggle with health or in some other way. You know, as I watched the COVID kind of figures going up this week and the restrictions and different things on the news, it didn't give me a very nice feeling. What about you? I mean, it's just not nice, is it? And I've heard people say that, you know, they watch Gladys at 11 o'clock and they find that their mood for the day is shaped by whatever their kind of mood and posture is. Like we are on this journey. But as we see the bad news, as we have this week, we're not rejoicing, most of us, are we? We're struggling. Some of us, and you know, we're very fortunate up here, but certainly in our state, economically, the impact can be huge. The health impact, of course, the mental health issues, you know, and there's that. And then we think about, I was led this week to think about places like Bangladesh. And the reason that came up for me is there's some work there that I regularly am praying for, just because I think it's such an important work. But I was reading an update, as many of us do, for different ones that we pray for. And this was about how COVID is impacting over there. And what we are experiencing here is nothing compared to that. They're having upwards of 200 deaths a day, and they're just the official numbers. I did have a great, like, you can't read that, but you can see what it's doing. That's the daily new cases. There's a convention centre in Dhaka that's been turned into a 1,000-bed field hospital for COVID patients, right? It's way worse than it was a year ago. And, you know, in their lockdown, they don't have the social security. They can't just order Coles delivery or whatever. How are they going to feed themselves? And so for the poor especially, the impact is just something we couldn't even imagine. And there are millions of people like this in our world at the moment because of this. You know, rejoice. Rejoice. So how can we rejoice? How can that people in those situations rejoice? Well, let's read our devotion and see what might be shared with us here. And this is written by Christine Dillon. So our world is in the middle of a global pandemic. Well over 100 million people have been infected by COVID-19 and millions of people have died. This number's increasing daily. We never would have imagined a year ago, would we? Well, in a year before that, imagine. But anyway, however, this is only one tragedy in the midst of a suffering world. Each of us also have our own hard times on top of the pandemic. Financial hardships, health issues, poor relationships, death of loved ones, childlessness, unemployment, emotional neglect or manipulation. How can Paul say, rejoice always? If we didn't know anything about Paul, we might be tempted to think he just didn't understand life. But this is the Paul who writes this letter to the Christians in Philippi while in jail. He was no stranger to suffering. Beatings, stonings, shipwrecks, conflicts, accusations by his own people. How then could he say such a thing? To rejoice always. Well, the key is in the verse, rejoice in the Lord always. 4 verse 4. The command isn't to just rejoice and laugh about suffering. It's a call to keep being thankful and to rejoice in the Lord who never changes despite the circumstances, in the Lord who always loves, who always blesses, though sometimes those blessings come in strange packages, who always works for the good of those who trust him. Like Paul, if we choose to keep rejoicing in the Lord in all circumstances, both easy and hard, then we will mature and grow more like Jesus. We will be able to persevere and grow in patience and joy no matter what. Now, Paul doesn't imply that this will be easy, which is perhaps why he gives the command twice. I will say it again, rejoice. He followed this principle in his life so that he and Silas were able to sing praises to God in jail. Remember that story from Acts 16? And we too can be enabled by the Spirit's strength to rejoice. So the request then is to write 10 things that you can rejoice in today and tell it to the Lord in prayer. They can be rejoicing in God's unchanging character or his gifts to you. As you make this kind of daily rejoicing or thanksgiving a habit, you'll find that you view even hard times with a transformed perspective. I'm going to ask you to do that in a minute, but let me review. What have we learned here? Why can we rejoice? Why are we able to rejoice? Well, I've pulled out 4 reasons. First one, God never changes. She makes that point, doesn't she? God never changes. His character is and always will be one of love and of faithfulness towards those who put their trust in him, whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in. So we can rejoice. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I just pulled a couple out. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We can rejoice because God never changes. Another reason we can rejoice is because God always works for the good of those who love him. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And we've already said it today. Sometimes we don't always see it at the time. This isn't to say it's always going to be kind of rosy. But that bigger picture, we've got the promise that God is always going to be at work for our good. He's got that ultimate picture. He knows. We can trust him. We can rejoice in that deep sense. Okay, number three, we can rejoice because God uses even difficulties and suffering for good. And there's that whole thing, does he cause them or not, or whatever. Whether he's caused it or not, he uses it for good. He's at work through it. And there are so many examples in Scripture and in people's lives. You talk to people that have been walking with God for some time. But Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5 is one place where we see this. This is where Paul says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, which is a kind of a crazy thing to say. But he says it because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through his Holy Spirit, who's given to us. God even works through the difficult things for his good purposes. And I'm going to add a fourth, which I don't think was in that devotion, but I think it's an important one when we're thinking about why we can rejoice even in suffering. And it's because he is a God who understands suffering. He's experienced it. Remember, Jesus himself was willing to go even into the horror of the cross. Why? Because of his love for us, for you and for me. Right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He understands suffering. So we've got a list of reasons there. With that, well, that's, you just have a glance at that, and then we'll put Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 back up. I'll ask you to fill in those 10 things. How about we do that now? You've got your pen or your pencil there. Think now, 10 things you can rejoice in today. It could be about God and his character. It could just be something which you've experienced in your life, big or small, anything. Write down 10 things. I'm going to do it too. Give it just a moment longer. while people are finishing up. Does anyone want to share one of the things that you're thankful for? You have to call out extra loud through your mask. Beautiful. Thank you. Anyone else? Did you find it hard to come up with 10 things? We could keep going, really, couldn't we? So what's another one? It's our great country. Fantastic. Thank you, God. Your beautiful wife. Yes. Nice. Thank you, Jim. Good friends. Yeah. Thank you, God. Other ones? That he cares about the details. Thank you, God. Yes. Right? Yeah, so Graham's daughter has had surgery recently and she's doing okay. God is with her. Yes, Ethel. Yeah, thank you, God. Yeah. Yeah. Others? Just a couple more? Good neighbors. Nice. Yes. Yeah, thank you, God, that they have recovered. Yeah. The beautiful sunsets. Thank you, God. Yep. We can go on, can't we? God is so good. God is so good. I think we're actually going to have a day of Thanksgiving by the end of this year where we're going to all have a chance to share out of our sense of God's goodness to us through the course of the year. Such a good thing to do because when we start, we remember, right? It's so easy not to remember. But God is so good and we are thankful. So let me say, tomorrow, we've helped you out here. Tomorrow, you are ready to launch into day one of 40 days of prayer. Let's see what God will do in and through and around us as we commit to pray together and separately in this way. Shall I pray to finish off this time? Let's pray and we'll focus on thanksgiving. Oh God, we are thankful to you. God, we are thankful. We have many things on our hearts and in our minds which we want to ask of you. We have concerns, there are things we are anxious about. And we thank you, God, that you want to hear these things, that you care about these things. And we do bring them to you, and we trust them to you. And this pandemic, God, we don't know what it's about or why you're allowing everything to happen, but we thank you that even in the midst of it, we know that you will be at work for good things. And we pray that we can be a part of that. We ask for your help with that. Lord, we are thankful that no matter what happens, we know that you are bigger than this thing. We know that we still have hope. We know that we can still show love. We know that we can thank you for the blessings of how you've been at work in our lives. We know we can thank you for the beautiful sunsets or the good friends or neighbours that we might have, this Christian community where we can journey not just alone as believers, but together. Thank you for the gift of this community. We thank you for your word where you speak to us and have revealed what you're like and shown us of your son Jesus and your call on our lives and your love for us. There's so many things, Father, we want to thank you. Our hearts today are filled with gratitude. Help us to grow into that attitude of gratitude, Father, that was talked about earlier. Lord, help us. And let that overflow to be something that others see, that they might want to come to know you as well, we pray. Lord, we know we need to be a prayerful people. We've been talking about that today. We've been talking about that for a few weeks. But Lord, let it not just be this thing that is there for a little while and forgotten. Lord, we want to grow into this. We need your help. We want your spirit to teach us to be people of prayer. Because we know that as we pray, as we trust you, you will be at work. And you will amaze us and encourage us and teach us and lead us and just show your love at work. We know we will see that. Lord, help us. We pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.